There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to Good Job, where we interview inspiring people from the music industry and find out what makes them them. That roar was from vocal coach and metal scream expert Melissa Cross. Melissa is one of the most prominent vocal coaches in the metal scene. She's worked with artists like Slipknot, The Disturbed, Arch Enemy, and helps them achieve those extreme vocals that we all know and love in a safe way.
A voice is a voice, and there's no classical training and, you know, pop training. That's not, it's just a voice, and a voice is a voice is a voice, and these sounds that we make are different sounds, but the voice doesn't change.
In this episode, Melissa chats to me about her journey from classically trained vocal coach to metal vocal coach, shares some technical insights into fry screaming, and talks about the truth behind the stereotypes of metal.
Rawr. Very excited to have you here.
Yay!
First of all, for people who don't know, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Melissa Cross and I'm a vocal instructor. I'm based in New York. I do teach everything, not classical, although I'm classically trained. There's much better teachers of that. But a few years ago, actually a couple of decades ago almost, I was given a challenge. And it kind of landed in my lap. It's a long story, but a person I went to school with was producing these underground bands. This is like in the mid-90s or maybe early 90s. And it was screaming. I mean, it wasn't singing. It was screaming. And he wanted me to get his client through a recording session without coughing blood. And I offered to help out. And I had no idea what I was getting into until the guy came. And that student that came then happens to be one of the top metal singers now. So when that student came, a bunch of other students lined up because somehow I'd figured out a way with my training. And also I've always wanted to be Janis Joplin since I was 13. So I've been working on this sound my whole life. So I said, okay, I instead of saying, oh, you just can't do that. You got to stop that. Because when I saw the first concert, it was so much like what music was for me in the 60s. I mean, I've always been a rock chick. Even though I'm classically trained, I'm a rock chick. Uh-huh. So this whole evolution of the metal thing was just an evolution of who I am. My life kind of goes with the backdrop of what rock is. And so I became, you know, through the last couple of decades, kind of like the go-to expert in distortion. I started teaching voice in 1990. And my specialty then was to get the Broadway out of Broadway singers, because that was a journey that I had made. I actually went to acting college in the UK. I went to the Old Vic Theatre School. And I had this epiphany where this guy was trying to get me to sound like, you know, something like Rent. And I was doing something that sounded like an art song. And I had that transformation when I was younger. And so I got really good at what's involved, you know, technically in all that. And then I became like a voice geek. Yes. Somewhere in like the early 80s when I had an injury, because I was in a punk band the first time around, Beth. The first time around I was in a punk band.
Yeah.
And it was not like art songs. And there was nobody teaching that sound. So I just threw everything out the window. Everything out the window. And I got, you know, damaged. So my recovery from that damage in the 80s involved some speech therapy. The doctor sent me to the speech therapist. You know, I had a little polyp, and I didn't have surgery. I didn't want surgery. I took 6 months of vocal rest, which is not the wisdom now, but at the time, that's what it was. 6 months. And I got this amazing speech person. And there was an experience of resonance during the speech training that reminded me of the resonance in classical training. And I was like, I get it. It was through speaking that I realized that a voice is a voice, and there's no classical training and, you know, pop training. That's not, it's just a voice, and a voice is a voice is a voice. And these sounds that we make are different sounds, but the voice doesn't change. So I got really into, like, in the 80s when I couldn't sing, I started like this journey into voice science, and I've been in there ever since. So that's the story. Those, you know, that first student was Jesse Leach from Killswitch Engage. And and after that, I got, you know, everybody. I mean, they, because it was a, it's a very tight knit community, the metal. Like, you asked a question, you said, what is metal? Metal is a, is an attitude. It's a, it's an identity. It's really not just music. So you know how you can recognize a metal kid. You don't know what country they're from. You don't know if they're from Thailand, or they might be from Korea, you know, whatever. But you know a metal kid from miles away. When I saw my first concert and I looked down on this sea of moshing people, all dressed the same with hand signals, and I was like, oh my God, this is what it was like. I want to do this. Oh shoot, I'm too old. Damn. And I kind of like wanted to be a part of it, but I knew that I would be such a poser if I did. So it turned out that I got that phone call like a couple of weeks later. And that's the history of The Zen of Screaming, which is that DVD that I put out in 2005. I put out a second one in 2007. And it talks about screaming. The first DVD doesn't talk about screaming very much, because in order to scream sustainably, you have to learn basics.
Do you think that if you have like basic singing training, that anyone can learn to scream?
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Beth here. Hope you're enjoying listening to the interview with Melissa. I love doing these interviews, but we're experimenting with some new podcast content. We're taking some of the topics that I've been investigating on the channel, and I'll be going through your comments and chatting with producer Tom or a special guest or both. The first episode will be released on Friday the 9th of April, and we haven't decided on a name for this new format, so I would love to hear your suggestions. I will put a comment on the community tab in YouTube from the 9th of April, where you can suggest some names once you've had a listen, and we will run a poll on our favourite ideas that come up. Enjoy the rest of the interview.
Going back to what defines metal, what do you think are the stereotypes of metal, and do you think that they are accurate?
Well, all stereotypes are stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. So when you get more educated in something, like, I'm sure that my mother, rest in peace, she would always think it sounds like screaming. And when I first heard it, I actually first heard it in the late 80s on an underground college radio thing. And I said, what is that? What the what? What are they doing? And then I got more educated about what was bubbling under. But when I saw the massive, like, acceptance of it, well, metal stereotypically, for people who don't know about it, is satanic. To me, metal music is so diverse. There's all different kinds of metal, and there's even, it used to be really tribal, like, in the early 2000s, you know, you had a death metal sound, you had a metalcore scream, you had, like, these tribal noises that kind of inferred what kind of metal you were. If it was altered time signatures, it was math metal. If it was like arty or ambient, it was like art metal. You know, they had math metal, art metal, post-punk hardcore, blah, 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 blah. You know, like all these little tribes. It's not so much like that anymore, but it used to be like that. So I developed labels of different kinds of screams. Mm-hmm. And they were based on the function of the voice, not necessarily on the sound. And I'm a big flag carrier for defining function instead of defining sounds.
Okay.
Because it's not about the sound. It's such a horrible mess, voice science, because most of the research, the good research, the scientifically based research, is in speech science. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to migrate over to speech science eventually, because there was so much conjecture and so much subjectively based assumptions that were being made on the basis of sounds, mm-hmm. that I realized we're just getting into a bigger mess. Even now, I coined these phrases, fry screaming, I coined in 2004. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's because it was based on a kind of a vocal fry, which is a aperiodic, not repeating frequency. It's just noise. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's done at the source, the true vocal folds. Right. Mm-hmm. But most of the people that were looking at this were looking at the ventricular area, the area above the vocal folds where the constriction would cause the noise. And that one is not sustainable for everybody.
Right.
That particular function doesn't work for, sopranos and tenors. Okay. It's not sustainable. They get beat up. Like if you're a baritone or even a lyric baritone, get away with it. But, larger, thicker voices can handle that area epiglottic constriction thing. Mm-hmm. But most of the people that I teach, and I teach a lot of metal people, most of them have kind of settled into a combination of fry screaming and like a hybrid screaming where there's very little constriction.
Right.
Because the constriction doesn't really work out. It's just too much labor, because you can get the same sound by creating this noise at the level of at the source, which is the true folds. But I have like four different models. One is the fry screaming, which is like perturbing. It's like, yeah, it's not very loud. It doesn't need to be loud, mm-hmm. because the microphone does the work. It picks up all those subharmonics. Mm-hmm. It makes a big flat noise, and it sounds brutal when it's less than conversational volume.
Yeah.
So I kind of like dropped a bomb on louder is better. Because yes. Louder is a perception. Loud is not an action. Loud is a perception. So mm-hmm. we have, like I'm back to this flag. Look, we need to talk about function as opposed to sounds. I actually mm-hmm. did this amazing high-speed video series where I actually saw that the true folds can do both fry and periodic oscillation at the same time.
Ooh.
So the front of the folds actually are doing a frequency, right? And the back is doing like the farting thing. Uh-huh. You get like, this is pure fry. That's pure fry. But if I put, there's no constriction there. There's just part of my folds were doing like that. And then the rest was going. So you can do both. But anytime anyone goes, like does that lift of mm-hmm. and the constriction in the area epiglottic region there, usually they're doing it with an emotional impetus that is really unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And eventually they come to me for that because I'll undo it.
And is that why it's the zen of screaming to disconnect that emotional context?
Exactly. Well, actually it's being, and this is for all vocalizing, no matter what the sound is, you have to be inside the moment. Mm-hmm. You cannot conceptualize or think, because once you start to think, you're going to the wrong part of the brain that processes nothing to do with singing. Mm-hmm. And it makes you hold your breath and it doesn't sound good. So being in the moment with a sound is almost like cross-pollinating the senses in such a way that you can see the sound like, whoa, and me, and you know, like you have to go inside a present moment. You cannot want to sound like something and make it happen. You have to be. So that's an imaging thing, and that's why it's called the Zen, because Zen means be here now. I'm not a Buddhist, but it's kind of that idea.
I mean, you've already kind of covered this, but what is the metal community like as a whole?
Most of them that I come into contact with are the nicest people I've ever met. And the most integrity as persons. They really, I mean, always there's always a bad apple. You can't really stereotype anything, but you know, the idea that these, you know, giant, like, tatted up, pierced up people walking down my hallway were going to eat me alive was very quickly dispelled, because everyone was charming and well-mannered and articulate and passionate, and just the people that I like to be with. These are my people. I love these people. Whenever I see somebody that's got a piercing or something, I go, what are you listening to? I'm like a zombie looking for another zombie, right?
Big thanks to Melissa. If you are interested in extreme vocal techniques, I really suggest you check out her course, The Zen of Screaming. You can find that at melissacross.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast app of choice. It helps us share these interviews with new people. We love your feedback, so please do drop us an email at goodjob@bethroars.com. And if you'd like to get early access to new episodes and support the podcast, please do head over to patreon.com/bethroars. Once again, massive thanks to Melissa and to Tom, my co-producer, and of course to all you guys for listening. Bye.
Good job.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.